Vardensjö stared in disbelief when Gullberg returned at 2:57 with Clinton in tow. Clinton looked like a skeleton. He seemed to have difficulty breathing. He kept one hand on Gullberg's shoulder.
"What in the world?" Vardensjö said.
"Let's get the meeting moving again,"
Gullberg said briskly. They settled themselves again around the table in Vardensjö's office. Clinton sank silently onto the chair that was offered.
"You all know Frederick Clinton?"
Gullberg said.
"Indeed," Vardensjö said. "The question is, what's he doing here?"
"Clinton has decided to return to active duty. He'll be leading the section's operations department until the present crisis is over."
Gullberg raised a hand to forestall Vardensjö's objections.
"Clinton is tired. He's going to need assistance. He has to go regularly to the hospital for dialysis. Vardensjö, assign 2 personal assistants to help him with all the practical matters. But let me make this quite clear. With regard to this affair, it's Clinton who will be making the operational decisions."
He paused for a moment. No one voiced any objections.
"I have a plan. I think we can handle this matter successfully, but we're going to have to act fast so that we don't squander the opportunity," he said. "It depends on how decisive you can be in the section these days."
"Let's hear it," Vardensjö said.
"First of all, we've already discussed the police. This is what we're going to do. We'll try to isolate them in a lengthy investigation, sidetracking them into the search for Niedermann. That will be Nyström's task. Whatever happens, Niedermann is of no importance. We'll arrange for Faster to be assigned to investigate Salander."
"That may not be such a bright idea," Nyström said. "Why don't I just go and have a discreet talk with Prosecutor Ekström?"
"And if he gets difficult?"
"I don't think he will. He's ambitious and on the lookout for anything that will benefit his career. I might be able to use some leverage if I need to. He would hate to be dragged into any sort of scandal."
"Good. Stage 2 is Millennium and Mikael Blomqvist. That's why Clinton has returned to duty. This will require extraordinary measures."
"I don't think I'm going to like this," Vardensjö said.
"Probably not. But Millennium can't be manipulated in the same straightforward way. On the other hand, the magazine is a threat because of one thing only. Bjork's 1991 police report. I presume that the report now exists in 2 places, possibly 3. Salander found the report, but Blomqvist somehow got a hold of it, which means that there was some degree of contact between the two of them while Salander was on the run."
Clinton held up a finger and uttered his first words since he had arrived.
"It also tells us something about the character of our adversary. Blomqvist is not afraid to take risks. Remember the Wennerström affair?"
Gullberg nodded.
"Blomqvist gave the report to his editor-in-chief, Erika Berger, who in turn messengered it to Bublansky. So Berger has read it too. We have to assume that they made a copy for safekeeping. I'm guessing that Blomqvist has a copy and that there's one at the editorial offices."
"That sounds reasonable," Vardensjö said.
"Millennium is a monthly, so they won't be publishing it tomorrow. We've got a little time. Find out exactly how long before the next issue is published. But we have to confiscate both those copies of the police report. And we can't go through the Prosecutor General."
"I understand."
"So we're talking about an operation, getting into Blomqvist's apartment and Millennium's offices. Can you handle that, Jonas?"
Sandberg glanced at Vardensjö.
"Evert, you have to understand that we don't do things like that anymore," Vardensjö said. "It's a new era. We deal more with computer hacking and electronic surveillance. We don't have the resources for what you'd think of as an operations unit."
Gullberg leaned forward.
"Vardensjö, you're going to have to arrange some resources pretty damn fast. Hire some people. Hire a bunch of skinheads from the Yugo Mafia who can whack Blomqvist over the head if necessary. But those 2 copies have to be recovered. If they don't have the copies, they don't have the evidence. If you can't manage a simple job like that, then you might as well sit here with your thumb up your ass until the Constitutional Committee comes knocking on your door."
Gullberg and Vardensjö glared at each other for a long moment.
"I can handle it," Sandberg said suddenly.
"Are you sure?"
Sandberg nodded.
"Good. Starting now, Clinton is your boss. He's the one you take your orders from."
Sandberg nodded his agreement.
"It's going to involve a lot of surveillance," Nyström said. "I can suggest a few names. We have a man in the external organization, Mortensen. He works as a bodyguard in SIS. He's fearless and shows promise. I've been considering bringing him in here. I've even thought that he could take my place one day.
That sounds good, Gulberg said. Clinton can decide.
I'm afraid there might be a third copy, Nystrom said.
Where?
This afternoon I found out that Salander has hired a lawyer. Her name is Annika Giannini. She's Blomqvist's sister.
Gulberg pondered this news.
You're right. Blomqvist will have given his sister a copy. He must have. In other words, we have to keep tabs on all three of them, Berger, Blomqvist, and Giannini, until further notice.
I don't think we have to worry about Berger. There was a report today that she's going to be the new editor-in-chief at Svenska Morgenposten. She's finished with Millennium.
Check her out anyway. As far as Millennium is concerned, we're going to need telephone taps and bugs in everyone's homes and at the offices. We have to check their email. We have to know whom they meet and whom they talk to. And we would very much like to know what strategy they're planning. Above all, we have to get those copies of the report. A whole lot of stuff, in other words.
Vardenshire sounded doubtful.
Evert, you're asking us to run an operation against an influential magazine and the editor-in-chief of SMP. That's just about the riskiest thing we could do.
Understand this. You have no choice. Either you roll up your sleeves, or it's time for somebody else to take over here.
The challenge hung like a cloud over the table.
I think I can handle Millennium, Sandberg said at last. But none of this solves the basic problem. What do we do with Zalachenko? If he talks, anything else we pull off is useless.
I know. That's my part of the operation, Gulberg said. I think I have an argument that will persuade Zalachenko to keep his mouth shut. But it's going to take some preparation. I'm leaving for Göteborg later this afternoon.
He paused and looked around the room. Then he fixed his eyes on Vardenshire.
Clinton will make the operational decisions while I'm gone,
he said.